How do you understand your company's reputation as an employer? Metrics vary from company to company, making it hard to benchmark your progress against competitors. This is where the Employer Brand Index comes in. It analyzes what employees, candidates, and alumni are saying about your company and quantifies these findings into a single score. We can even dive into your talent competitors to really understand how competitive your employer brand is. Our team of talent analysts collect all available data points, discover patterns, and deliver a report full of insights and recommendations. Want to know more? Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, sans wesam, it's Jorgen Sandberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Today, we're going to chat to a global insurance company based in London that can trace its history back to 1696. Now, does this heritage help when fighting for the same tech talent as everyone else? We'll find out. Let's start the show. Johnny Briggs, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Fantastic. So please let us know who you are and what you do.
So I am the global head of talent acquisition at Aviva, which is a top 30 FTSE insurance company based in the UK, but sitting across 15 markets globally. And so my job is to own the talent acquisition community. So in each market, we have talent acquisition teams that report through to the people director of that market. And my job is to bring all those people together for anything that would be deemed to be a global initiative. So examples being where we have technology initiatives like applicant tracking systems, any enterprise agreements with suppliers, hiring manager capability, and then what we're going to discuss today, employer brand.
Great. And how many employees do you have at Aviva and how are they distributed globally?
So we've got 30,000 employees who work for Aviva PLC. There's a further 8,000 that work through our joint ventures. About half are based in the UK. The majority of that, around 11,000, work for our insurance business. And then 4,000 or so work within our various functions, of course, of which I'm one, technology, finance, etc.
Yeah, okay. And how would you describe the corporate culture inside the business?
So it's changing massively. So we talk about ourselves as a 321-year-old disruptor. So the insurance industry has got away where for many, many years with a traditional model, and it needs to change. And so we need to change the way we do business, but we need to change the way we work as an organization. So we're doing a huge amount of work to make us leaner, to make us quicker, to make us faster. And we're not there, but we're certainly making good progress towards that.
And how long have you been with the company? What made you join and what keeps you there?
So I joined just over 2 years ago. I came from Thomson Reuters, and prior to that, I was with RBS for 6 years. When I initially looked at the organization, I had the view that it was quite a traditional insurance company. It's a very well-known organization in the UK. But I wasn't particularly drawn to the industry. It's when I then started to look at the organization, particularly around the innovation, particularly around the culture, I became really quite attracted to it. And it has for me delivered on the basis that we've got four very clear values and it delivers on that. So I really enjoy working in the organization. Don't get me wrong, there are challenges, but what I was attracted to has been delivered for me.
Great. Okay. So let's look at these challenges, especially around talent. Is it the normal challenges that you're looking for tech people and engineers?
So yes, in some respects. We fill all our jobs. So we placed last year, we had 7,300 people going into new jobs, about half of those internally, half of those externally. So, and we fill our jobs. Some take longer, but we will fill them. And we are quite stringent in regard to the criteria we want. We primarily recruit individuals on them meeting the values of the organization and then secondary on the technical skills. Our biggest challenge is the workforce of the future, because a hiring manager will have a vacancy. We have no approval process here, so we have accountability down to hiring manager level. They can make the decision to go and hire. It's making sure that they hire skills for the future, not skills for the past. And that's the real challenge. So it's not about necessarily going and getting individuals that can fill jobs today. It's, are they the right people for the skills we need for tomorrow? And that's a constant challenge because we have yet to identify all the skills we will need for tomorrow. So that I would say is the biggest thing I'm currently grappling with.
Right. Okay. So tell us about your employer brand strategy.
So it's quite interesting. When I joined the organization, there had been some work that didn't complete on the employer brand. And the story behind that was, well, we have a consumer brand and quite a strong consumer brand. Yeah. Now, there is a significant difference you can use and leverage your consumer brand, but an employer brand is something that is very, very different. So I set about establishing something that would fit for every market. And that's quite often the challenge in a global business that can be quite federal in the way that it operates. So I've created something that's an overarching employer brand that will satisfy every market and ensure that that's simple but effective for all those markets. What we've encouraged the markets to do is to then add to that with anything that would be local. So the example I would give in Asia, we have a fastly growing business in Singapore. They want to get that story across because that's very important to their target market. So they've used our overarching employer brand. And in terms of the reasons one would want to come and join us as a company, but then they have then put into it some of the nuances that are important to them in Singapore, particularly around that they were hoping to grow by, for example, nearly 40% year on year. So getting people in that are excited about that, but also still sitting within the kind of global employer brand.
Great. Okay. So is there if we look at the global employer brand that you developed, is there an EVP, a people promise?
So yes. So we did a lot of work in terms of what an employer brand should, what candidates are interested in, and then we're matching that to what Aviva can offer. And of course, most organizations will be after the same things. We know that the things that stand out for potential candidates are the development opportunities within the organization, the progression that they will get in the organization. And then the thing that I think stands us out is a sense of purpose. And we have a real sense of purpose. I mean, we call it internally defy uncertainty. But what we've done is we've articulated that better in our employer brand so that people can resonate with our candidates, who of course are potential customers as well. So we have, I would say most organizations will be pushing similar messages about their organization in terms of what that will mean for somebody's career. Where we are hoping to stand out very strongly is that we feel that we have got a very strong sense of purpose. And then in addition to that, we are a very inclusive business and we are pushing that as well. And we have found recently those that are joining, a lot of their attraction to us as an organization was that they felt throughout the process and through our materials that we were coming across as a business that was truly inclusive.
Great. Okay. So is there a tagline that you use externally?
So we have put Defy Uncertainty, which is our, as I say, our line, but we have explained that. And what I mean by that is Defy Uncertainty is our view is that unfortunately, we're all going to come, there's going to be bad news for somebody at some point. So whether that be, you know, car breaking down, whether that be a damage to the house. So what we do is we give our customers, we defy that uncertainty. So from that perspective, we have articulated that as the reasons for our sense of purpose. What we have called it, and we do simply call it the employer brand internally, so people understand what it is we're talking about. And we haven't created any further strapline than that.
Okay. So you mentioned that Aviva's got a very strong consumer brand, especially in the UK. How does the employer brand deviate? Does it at all? What would be the differences?
So I would say we would build in it. So we have the advantage that in most markets there will be recognition. So we have something called the Drive app in the UK, which got a lot of press because it would rate the individual and create competition within a family to see who was the better driver. And of course, there's an important message in terms of safer driving. So yeah. So we build on that. So using social media, we will highlight that and then link it towards our careers pages and try and take people into we want to drive as much traffic as possible to our .com site, where there is, we've invested a lot of money in terms of getting good content. So they are, and we will talk about people. So the consumer is very much more, is more product orientated. Yeah. When we get to our bit, it is very much more about the people in the organization.
So can you give us some examples? So if I go on to, is it avivacareers.com?
Yeah, the aviva.com careers, you'll go in there. What we've done in there, so some of the examples that we're talking about is our communities where for diversity. So rather than have, I think, a traditional approach to and we call diversity and inclusion. So rather than a traditional approach to that, we've created communities where everybody can be part of it. So you can't see me, but I am a middle-aged white heterosexual male. So I'm in the kind of majority and the kind of typical loop. But I want to be part of our inclusion initiatives. And we've created these six communities. Very quickly, one is carers, one is balance, one is ability, one is pride, one is origins, and one is generations, to ensure that I can join all those different communities. Because I have, you know, origin. So it's not just about whether you're an ethnic minority, it's about everybody joining. And what I particularly enjoy is the fact that I can find out more about other people, they can find out about me, more about other organizations. So that to me stands out as being something that's a bit different, that people seem to kind of also hone in on and be more interested in. And when we've got a teaser in some respects about that within our website, we're quite conscious. We do not want to just throw content after content after content at people. We know that there are plenty of choices, so we want to get the messages to be succinct. And then hopefully someone will want to find out more.
Do you find that candidates going through a process, do they consume the content through along the journey?
It's a real mixture. So yes, we know that some people went straight to apply for a job, and a lot of our applications will come through still job boards, still work well for us. Social media obviously works extremely well, particularly LinkedIn. We know very often that people are finding the vacancy and clicking, and they're not spending a lot of time investigating suitability for the job and appropriate interest in the job. So we've taken it back. We're using a product called Textile, which you may have heard of, which helps to ensure that our role profiles are more gender neutral and use more attractive language.
Yeah.
And we have found that in doing that, the quality of the application is better. And so people clearly are reading more in terms of the role profile. But it's still not the majority. I would say the majority would still be keen to apply rather than investigate enough about the company.
Oh, that's interesting. So I wonder how you could slow people down a bit and make sure they make the right decision and not just clicking away.
So I think it's all about the quality of the content and making it attractive, making it quick. I think one of the mistakes that we have done in the past is we've put too much. It's been too staid. It's been very corporate. It's been very much about the leaders in the organization at investors days, rather than, for example, if you were to go into LinkedIn, admittedly it was a few weeks ago, we've got two of the most senior, well, certainly the most senior male job shares that we know of in the City of London. Two of our group executive minus one level do a job share over 2.5 days. We also then have, we recently announced that we would do shared parental leave. So it's stories about people that are taking advantage of that that seem to resonate more with people than I think the kind of corporate spiel.
Could there also be a case for perhaps listing a few things that if you're looking for this, that, and the other, then we are not right for you? So send people onto the next company.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and that's an interesting, we would talk very positively what characteristics will make somebody work in our organization. And then hopefully on that basis, they can select themselves out.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned the sources of hire there. Do you also have a referral program in place?
We do. It works, I would say, well. It could work better. I think there's always an opportunity there. We are around 15%, which I would say is what you would expect. That's probably about most organizations' average. So I think there's an opportunity to grow that. I think we need to be just a bit more flexible in the approach. So at the moment, we just have a standard sum, and then you can have what's called a hot job, which means you can put something more. I think we need to show a bit more flexibility in that, but it's certainly a very useful sort of channel to market for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also mentioned you're working with Textio. And what's the rest of your tech stack around employer brand?
So we've got, we're looking at a whole host of things at the moment. So we're about to go live with an alumni platform, which I think is essential, really. We notice the trend of people returning back to the organization being high, and that is without really pushing it. So if you can bear in mind that we could push that, getting returners that we want to come back will make for longer retained hire. So that makes a lot of sense for us. So we're looking at getting a global alumni platform that we will help to will also help with employer referrals, because they will hopefully refer other people to the organization that they know. So we're working on that. I'm upgrading our onboarding portal. So the key part of recruitment is often forgotten, that when somebody's been offered the job, accepted, they then have that period before they start that can often be as much as 3 months, possibly 6 months. So we have a portal which helps them to communicate with the line manager, gives them lots of information about the company. And we're upgrading that to make sure that there's a more warmer welcome for a chief exec. We're giving them more information about our inclusion communities, which I mentioned to you. So there's a lot of work that we're going through in that. And we've just relaunched our .com website.
And that was aviva.com/careers.
Yes, we actually relaunched the entire .com website, and careers obviously was part of that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. If we look at measurement, how do you calculate return on investment on employer branding?
So we, strictly speaking, we don't do anything exclusive in employer branding. What we do is we will look at our key metrics for talent acquisition. So for us, we're particularly focused on new hire failure rate. So for us, we don't, a lot of organizations will look at 3 months short-term tenure. We actually look at the first 12 months because we think that gives a far better picture of the quality of hiring decisions we're making. So that is one thing we look at. And an employer brand makes a difference, because if you're using it well, you attract the right people, they stay. If you get that employer brand message wrong, it's likely they'll go. And by wrong, it means if it's not accurate. So that's a ratio we look at. We look at our cost to hire, because I think, again, the employer plan will impact on that, because we will get, it will be lower. And then we have got work on the quality of hire, which we do through hiring manager surveys, and then looking 12 months down the line at their performance ratings. And I wouldn't say the metrics are there in terms of that, but that's how we will measure it.
Great. Okay. All right. So if we look beyond Aviva, what employer brands out there inspire you?
So I'm very fortunate that I, for the past 2 years, have been a judge at the Employer Brand Awards. So I get to have a look at a whole lot of organizations, employer brands. And there was one submission, so it's not for this year, as we would say, but in previous year, that I'm still very impressed by. And it's an organization called Cook, which is a relatively small frozen food chain in the UK. But it was so deeply personal. They have a whole host of initiatives. I would encourage anyone to go and look at their websites. They have a whole host of initiatives that will draw in people. And I strongly suspect they will have a very high retention rate, and they will have people knocking the door to work for them. So some of the examples that they showed were how they actively seek people who have spent time in prison, that have gone through, that want to rehabilitate, and equally similar with homeless people that have had, for whatever reason, spent some time on the streets. And there was just, it came across as an organization that was truly authentic and a great place to work.
Yeah, I would agree with that from a consumer perspective. When you walk into a Cook store, they are very welcoming, very hospitable. They're always offering up food, and people seem genuinely very happy in there. So it shines through. Great. All right. What would you say is next up for employer brand?
So we've still got lots to do. So first of all, I think it is it's constantly evolving. Not necessarily the words or the image you would use, but just where you're going to be just using it. So one of the things that we, I think, in the past have neglected here is we've not reminded the hiring managers of the employer brand. So, you know, it's all over the interview checklist. It's all over our assessments to make sure people remember to sell our organization accurately when they're seeing candidates. So we're going to learn from that. We're going to find out what hiring managers tell us, and we might change where we promote it. So that's it. And then this thing I mentioned at the beginning, making sure we get that bit right between, we have got a global employer brand, but what is the story in each market? that kind of adds to that. So it doesn't replace it, it adds to it. And that's the bit that I'll be doing a lot with this year.
Great. Okay. So final question, Johnny, where can our listeners learn more about Aviva's employer brand and where can they connect with yourself?
So if you go onto our .com site, so the Aviva.com site is where we've got, that's the start. We've put a lot of effort into LinkedIn. We've brought somebody else to do social media because we believe that's a really good platform to grow on. And we've made the choice that we're going to put a lot of energy into a few platforms rather than try and cover across many. And LinkedIn is for very obvious reasons, one of the places that we want to go. If anyone wants to speak to me, it is very simply just my name, which is Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y, @Aviva.com. If you go onto LinkedIn, I'm still using my Sunday name, which is Jonathan Briggs, but I'd be very happy to hear from anybody.
Great, fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem at all. Thank you.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Johnny and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, which you'll be able to find at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, I wanted to give you a heads up on a webinar that I am hosting in exactly 2 weeks' time on the 27th of June, which is titled How to Measure the ROI on Employer Branding. It's essentially a reprise of a presentation I did at eBrandCon last month. So here's your chance to see it and ask any questions you might have in case you didn't make it to eBrandCon. And in the session, we'll look at the need for measuring employer brand, examples of measurement in leading organizations, large and small. We'll contrast and compare internal data versus external data. We'll look at using publicly obtainable user-generated information. We'll look at analyzing your employer brand trajectory over time and also trying to tie metrics and results to actual financial ROI. So quite a tall order there. Please join me on the 27th of June. So that's going to be at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 p.m. UK time. And the link goes into the show notes, just like all the other links. So please, please, please join us on the 27th. Look forward to having you on there. So that's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in. Look forward to catching up with you next week. Hey-do!
I mean, my favorite quote is Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream, because I just think it was such, but at the time, so ambitious, so brilliant. But I don't necessarily know if I think that would be appropriate to tie it to me and employer brand. But, you know, there's somebody in the world stage that I hugely admire.